Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the LG Equipment's Q2 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Asian Markets Securities Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. Actual results may differ from such expectations, projections, etc., whether expressed or implied. Participants are requested to exercise caution while referring to such statements and remarks. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Kamlesh Kotak from Asian Markets Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Inaba. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Asian Markets, we welcome you all to the 2Q FY23 earnings conference call of LG Equipment Limited. We have with us today Mr. Jairam Varadaraj, Managing Director representing the company. I request Mr. Jairam to take us through an overview of the quarterly results, and then we'll begin the Q&A session. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much, Kamlesh, for hosting this call. Like we normally do, I will take you through first the current quarter's performance with respect to, in comparison to last year's same quarter. I'll give you a reconciliation of the EBITDA based on what it should have been and what it is. So if you look at the growth in sales and the improvement in the contribution margin at a material cost level, our EBITDA should have been around 160 crores. Instead, it's about 110 crores. So there is close to a 50 crore difference between what it should have been and what it is. The biggest two things are the fixed costs that have gone up. We have to keep in mind that the fixed cost during the same period last year was extremely subdued, and it was artificially subdued because of the COVID situation. So what we are seeing is basically the fixed cost coming back to normal levels. So nothing to be alarmed about, considering the fact that we are sustaining our improved margins at the contribution level. So I would not, when I look at both employee cost and other fixed costs, there is no specific country or no specific event or incident that is causing it. It is just a general increase across all. And we should expect that it should be at these levels going forward because these are really the normal levels that have come back. Yeah. Now, going to the sales, I'll start like I normally do with Australia. Australia was better than last year, but that's not saying much because if you remember, Australia was particularly affected. In fact, Australia and Southeast Asia were particularly more affected by COVID than the rest of the world. So we're coming back, but our expectations are that it would be far better than what it actually is. It's the same situation with Southeast Asia. In fact, Southeast Asia is better than last year, but still not as good as Australia's recovery has been. Coming to India, again, if you look at India, we had a very strong last year, first two quarters on the back of orders for oxygen requirement, compressors for oxygen requirement, which is not there in this quarter. So we have grown compared to last year without the oxygen thing, so it's been good. Moving forward towards Europe, Europe has had good growth, continues to grow well in spite of the problems that we are having with the Ukraine war and the energy prices. We are continuing to grow. We are going as per our plan, the overall strategic plan that we had made for Europe. To put it in perspective, we are a very, very, very small player in a significantly large market, so we are continuing to grow there. North America, particularly U.S., was very strong for us. We were able to, the entire team, the back-end team, operations team, did a fantastic job of making sure products were available. They were able to manage the supply chain challenges far better, I believe, than the competition has, because our lead times now all over the world have become very competitive and almost back, not almost, it's even better than pre-COVID levels. So this is a good thing, and these kinds of things have helped us. Of course, it hit us on our cash flow in terms of inventory that we had to go through, but we are beginning to get that under control. So Brazil had a good performance as well, and Middle East also grew well. So across the world, we've had good performance in all the geographies that we are participating in. Automotive equipment business also grew compared to last year. But last year, if you remember, first quarter was almost a wash for the automotive equipment business. It didn't have, like the compressor business, which had the oxygen compressors, automotive didn't have a supplemental business, and it was a really bad first quarter. So the second quarter was a recovery for it. So to that extent, growing over a recovering quarter, I think, is a good thing. So they're also doing well. So overall, across the board, we have done well, both on top line as well as the bottom line. Now, looking forward into the quarter, during the last call, I had mentioned that we will have a good Q2, but we're not sure of Q3. Things seem to be okay for Q3 as well. At least I'm confident of the first 2 months, but I'm not sure beyond November what could happen. We've got to keep in mind what happened with commodity prices in a very short period in the month of December in 2020. So the world has demonstrated that things can change quite rapidly, quite drastically. So we're keeping our fingers crossed. So we still think that Q3 will be good, but we have to wait and see. So there's a bit of a caution on that. As far as our price realizations, like I explained to you in the previous quarter call, we had done some price correction. The problem that we had in 2021-22 was the runaway costs. I mean, their costs were increasing on a weekly basis and pretty significantly, and no amount of price correction we were able to catch up with that. So in February of this year, we decided, even while the prices were still at very high levels, we decided we were going to forecast or anticipated costs, and then we'll set prices based on anticipated costs, which is what we did. We struggled through those price increase in the first quarter. We started getting some traction, and you can see the result of that in the second quarter. We expect that to continue, but in some areas, we may have to do some corrections. That this is something that we are analyzing so that we remain competitive. We are not going to give away prices which are based on cost increases. But if there are cost increases that we had overestimated, and to that extent we have to need to correct prices, we will do so. So the idea is growth, and that too profitably. So we will continue to manage that, watch that, and do that well in the third quarter. So coming back to, like I mentioned, you know, our ability to make products available was one of the competitive advantages that we had in the first two quarters. And as a consequence of not being sure of shipping lead times, supply lead times, we had to take the worst case and plan our inventory basis that. So the consequence of that was that we had a huge increase in inventory to the extent of almost, I think, 150 crores, if I'm not mistaken. So that increase is being progressively handled now in all the regions as well as in the operate manufacturing unit. We are scaling down our inventory to reflect the latest lead times and the latest shipment times. So we think it could be a 2 to 3 month transition period before we start seeing the results of it at the inventory level. But cash flow, of course, should start improving even before that. So as a consequence of all that, as of Q2 end, our net closing debt was close to 155 crores when our closing debt in March was around 90 crores. So to that extent, our debt has increased by 65 crores, only because of the inventory, because our receivables are remaining flat in spite of growth in sales. So we are confident that this will come down. I'm not able to predict exactly what the number would be at the end of the third quarter or at the end of the financial year, but it will be significantly lower than what it is now. Coming to our CapEx, we had grand plans. As always, we start with investing in machinery, but our total spend so far has been about 25 crores. And we believe we'll spend another probably 25 to 30 crores in the remaining year. So nothing significant there. We are working on a major CapEx plan as to shift our city operations to our main campus outside the city. The detailing is being done. So once the numbers and the timings are ready, I will be able to share them with you. So this is really a summary of our quarter, our performance, our cash flow. Thank you very much. I'll be happy to take your questions now. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Ravi Swaminathan from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congrats on a good set of numbers. My first question is with respect to the growth in the domestic market. So basically, we are looking at some 7% growth during this quarter. Adjusted for the last year's sale of oxygen concentrators, so basically, what would have been the kind of growth? What would have been kind of volume growth? And how do you see the domestic market panning out?
So the overall growth without the impact of O2 has been at a consolidated level close to 18%. Whereas with O2, what we have reported is about 12%. Right. So the difference really has been the contribution from India without O2, right? So that's really the summary of it, Ravi.
Okay. Now, what would have been the volume growth, sir, in this, and your outlook on the growth for India going forward?
So the volume growth is about 8%. So as far as India outlook is concerned, very difficult to say. There is a positive and a negative. The positive is that, you know, India is happening. It is being spoken about in all over the world. There is the China plus one strategy. There is also the various schemes that the government is looking at to localize businesses. So these are all positives that are there, but the negative, of course, is the overall world economic order. You know, there are constant conversation of inflation, impending unemployment, recession, interest rates, the war. There's nothing positive outside of India. So we need to look at what is the net impact of this, right? So can't make any conclusive statement on that.
Got it, sir. And you have seen very good expansion in the gross margin, especially at a standalone level. This is in spite of the fact that I think input costs would have gone up during the second quarter. I mean, or rather the inventories would have been there, would have been higher input costs. What is the reason behind this gross margin expansion?
So, like I explained, we did a price correction in February, March based on anticipated cost increases because we were not able to catch up with cost increases in the prior year. So that was the model that we took and we implemented it. We had various, there was a long gestation in different markets in terms of realizing it. There was old inventory that was there as well. So all that came into fruition in this quarter. So that's the result.
Got it, sir. Thanks a lot, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ranjit Shivram from Mahindra Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir.
Hi, Ranjit.
A good set of numbers to start with. Sir, was there any positive impact of the currency because we have a lot of exports and rupee was depreciating? So what was that impact, positive impact because of that?
So for us, currency was only a 1% impact because you got to understand we have dollar on one side, we have also euro on the other side, right? And we have significant presence in both these countries. So while the dollar was a favorable improvement, euro was an unfavorable improvement, right? Unfavorable development. So net-net, we got only a 1%.
Okay. And sir, like this price correction increase which we have taken, now that the raw materials have come down, our competition will also start to reduce prices. So what kind of price correction in our end products which we have to take in the next 2 to 3 months?
So we are still analyzing that, Ranjit. We need to figure out what is the current cost, we don't want to get into a situation where again volatile changes happen to raw materials and we again get left behind. We want to learn from the past, make sure that we have a detailed analytical view of the future and basis that review our prices and see if there is a need for us to make changes.
Okay. And sir, just one thing, just an understanding point of view, like I have also visited a lot of this pick and carry machine kind of a facility where there is a lot of impetus from the government. We are seeing a lot of capex happening, but I haven't seen any LG compressor used in any of this chip manufacturing or a SMT manufacturing facility. It's largely some other imported or some other foreign brand. So do we have an offering or are we looking at that? Because that's
absolutely
going to be a huge market.
Absolutely. I don't know which factory you visited in India because the PLI scheme for semiconductors, we know that very few factories have been converted into actual factories. The projects are on and in many of the projects, we have got the orders.
Okay, so we have an offering there.
Of course. And of course, and outside of India, some of the leading brands, I can't mention names because of confidentiality, some of the leading brands in semiconductors are our customers.
Okay, the fear as investors which we have, we said ASM is one of the largest machine manufacturing here. So because of this German thing, does he have a tie-up with the German compressor and are we losing out on that or nothing like that exists?
Sorry, I didn't understand your question.
ASM is one of the largest machine manufacturing for chips.
Yeah.
So because he's of German vintage,
yeah,
does he support mostly German compressors, or is it like nothing kind of?
I don't think so. Bosch is a customer of ours.
Okay, okay. So we don't see any major impact because of that.
No.
Okay, okay, that's great. And sir, this textile, we are seeing kind of a slowdown, or so is that, otherwise you can at least give some perspective, like what all are the growth markets for the first half and the second half, which all are the growth, because we are seeing some slowdown in textile, which used to be a big market for us.
No, textiles was never a big market for us. It was not disproportionately higher. As I've maintained, one of the benefits of this business is that it doesn't depend on any one industry vertical. It rides on all industries, but in a given year, there may be one or two industries, by virtue of their own endemic problems, they may be struggling. Like textiles right now, it was steel a few years ago because of the COVID, and there was a demand was not there, but again, steel came back with a vengeance. So those cyclical patterns exist in industries, but we are not dependent on any one industry in any significant way. So textiles, yes, it's almost a year that they've been having challenges because of cotton prices, but now cotton prices have dropped. Mills are again back into the market buying cotton, so it should start up.
Okay, and in terms of the end user industry, which are one or two, three industries which you can pick up, which is actually giving a positive outlook?
I think all of them are talking about, if I look at our inquiry levels, it cuts across all industries. Question is, are they all going to convert into finalizing orders, and when? That's the question. Yeah.
Okay, 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 sir. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Harshit Patel from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, sir. Sir, you have mentioned that we are progressing as per our plan in the European expansion. So I think the plan was to break even in FY24 and to start making money from FY25 onwards. So could you explain to us as to what were the losses that we have incurred so far in the first half of FY23, and what should be the full year losses for us?
So Arshad, one of the things is, yes, the plan was FY24 before COVID, but in COVID we lost a year. So the break-even actually happens in FY25, right? So that is point number one. Point number two is, I don't want to go into the specifics of losses in a given year. Our earlier plan was to invest 20 million euro through losses, right? So that's about 160 crores. So we are well below that. So that's all I would like to say. I don't want to go into the specifics of what it was in a given year. I would like to say that, and then say whatever we are doing today is better than planned.
Understood. And all the major hiring on the employees front, on the sales, marketing, administration front in Europe, is that done away with, or we are still hiring over there? So I'm just trying to gauge how much increase would be there in our employee expenses going ahead.
So bulk of it has been done. Any additional increase will be purely revenue generating increase. So if there is an increase, unless there is an associated revenue that is justified by the cost of that person, it will not be done. Yeah. So right now we have covered all our basic overheads required for the plan already in place.
Understood. My second question is on the motors front. So where are we? Last time you had mentioned that by the end of 2022, we will get that critical machine which is needed for the production, and by the end of FY23, so the March quarter, we will stabilize the production of motors. So where are we in that plan as of now?
Yeah. So if you remember, I had also mentioned in the same call that we had a problem with the vendor, and we were talking to them because they were delaying things and they were not meeting our specifications. Now, what we have done in the meantime is revoked or invoked the bank guarantee that they had given for the advance money that we had paid, and we have canceled the order, and we have gone with another vendor, and we hope that the delivery of that machine will happen by the fourth quarter of this financial year, and therefore next year we will have full capacity for the plant.
Understood. And sir, just last small clarification, that 18% like-to-like growth that you mentioned, excluding the oxygen compressor, so was that for our consolidated sales or just the India revenues?
Consolidated. Yeah.
Understood. Thank you very much, sir, for taking my question.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Vinod Sastry from Instanomic Ventures. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on the good number.
Thank you.
Sir, my question would be, on a standalone basis, we made 448 crores, and the PBT was around 95 crores. And on a consolidated basis, we have made 738 crores, and the PBT was 104 crores. Just wanted to know which business is underperforming, and when do we expect a turnaround in that business?
So, Vinod, I don't want to get into the specifics of each business. That would be too competitive an information for me to share. But you know that Europe is the one that is losing money, and that's a deliberate plan, right? And that's the reason why the consolidated number does not move proportionate to the standalone number.
Okay. The follow-up question would be, the operating profit margin for the quarter was somewhere around 15.2%. Is there any scope of improvement, or we are somewhere around the peak?
At the current level of pricing, we are probably at the peak. But the growth, the idea of increasing the bottom line or the operating profit margin is through volume, not necessarily through margin. Yeah.
Okay. Then there was some capex that was done on this Sawyer thing, LG Sawyer thing. Is that started, the commencement has started? Can we see any material impact towards that?
No, we don't have any LG Sauer. We have not made any investment into LG Sauer.
There was some kind of capex for somewhere around 50 crores was there.
No, but that is by the subsidiary company. It's not by the parent company. They are doing it on the strength of their own balance sheet.
Okay. Then we just had a news on this VRS scheme. How much wage cost reduction is expected if that goes through successfully, sir?
No, this is a small number. I don't think there is anything significant. By law, we are supposed to get a resolution passed by the board whenever we do a VRS. We do this on an ongoing basis. If you see in the past few years, we keep doing it. This is primarily to assist employees who have challenges that prevent them from working, but at the same time they're not so unwell that they cannot work. So we are trying to work that through. So there's nothing significant that can be expected.
Okay. So the last question would be, there is big capex that is going on into the railways thing. Do we see any big order flows that is coming into company, sir?
Railways are going to make an investment, but unlike the past, where the locomotives were manufactured by government-owned companies like Chittaranjan Locomotive or the Diesel Locomotive Works, increasingly they are looking at private manufacturers to manufacture the high-capacity, high-horsepower locomotives. We will be participating in these opportunities, but it's going to be a new landscape, completely different from the past. It's difficult to say whether there'll be a linear kind of growth for these kinds of opportunities, but we're there.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Govind Raju, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, congratulations on a set of good numbers. My question is, we are shifting the city-based manufacturing unit to outskirts of the city. Whether we'll create any labor shortage because most of the laborers will be in and around Coimbatore?
We have already running a factory there, and we are having people there, and we transport our people there, so it's not a problem.
Is this a strategic issue or because of the plant being inside the city? What are the future plans if the factory is being shifted from the city center to the outskirts, sir?
Sorry, I didn't understand your question.
Sir, we are shifting this factory to outskirts. Are there any future plans for this city facility?
No, we will utilize that for our automotive equipment business as well as other supply businesses that we have, like pressure vessels and motors and all that.
Okay, some part of the units are getting shipped to outskirts. That's right, sir?
The main production units will go there. These ancillary and supply units will probably remain here.
Okay, sir. Okay, thank you. That's from my end.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Naveen from NS Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, Dr. Varadarajan.
Good evening.
From your customer profile, sir, are you seeing any positive impact of the China Plus One, Europe Plus One, and the Indian manufacturing resurgence themes? Are we adding clients from niche areas and sectors which we have not seen in the past? Some commentary on those lines will be helpful, sir. Thank you.
We are not a component supplier or nor do we white label for other manufacturers. Therefore, for us, this China Plus One strategy doesn't affect our business because we are not competing with the Chinese companies for private labeling for others, right? The China Plus One strategy really helps those companies who are sourcing points for the big consumers in Europe and the U.S. We're not there. In terms of customers wanting to buy non-Chinese products, either in India or in Europe or in America, we don't see anything. At the end of the day, business doesn't get, doesn't behave in a biased manner. Business behaves in a rational manner, and if there is a Chinese company that is making good quality products and is able to give a good price, nobody is going to say, "I don't want to buy Chinese and therefore I will not buy." I mean, you see a lot of Indian companies who buy a lot of Chinese products. In our own business, I mean, there are so many small Indian compressor companies that got incubated because of the huge demand for compressors for producing oxygen. None of the organized players could suddenly supply that quantity. There was a huge influx of Chinese compressors that were represented or branded in the names of Indian companies, small Indian companies. They made a huge amount of business during that time, and now that the oxygen business is gone, they have to sustain their business through other means. They're continuing to import from China, and they're supplying to the industry. Industry is buying. I don't think that China Plus One strategy is a good rhetoric and emotion at a certain political level, but at the economic level, it is rational behavior.
Thank you, sir. And on the operating front for this quarter, it has come north of 15%. How do you see this going forward, sir? What would have to happen to take this few notches up. Is it possible with the current product line, or do we have to make investments and collaborations in R&D, etc.?
I think our cost to price ratio is pretty much at a level of synchronized levels. Maybe there is some opportunity to review it, which is what I referred to in the earlier part of my conversation. In order for us to move margins, operating margins or EBITDA in any significant way, it has to come from the top line, right? Which is really what we are trying to do through all our global expansion.
Thank you, sir. And congrats again for you and your team on a good set of numbers.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Bhavin Vithlani from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good evening, Jay.
Good evening, Bhavin. How are you?
All good. Congratulations for good numbers.
Thank you.
On the, when we look at standalone growth of about 8%, and you mentioned on a consolidated basis, the growth could have been 18 instead of 12. But if you could help us, what could have been the growth in India had the oxygen concentrators not been there? That's part one. Second, which are the end user industries that we are seeing positive traction and maybe a couple of them where we are seeing a negative traction?
Sorry, can you repeat your second question, Bhavan?
So X of the oxygen demand, and when you look at the end user segment, where is that we are seeing positive growth momentum, and where are we seeing a negative growth momentum?
So let me answer your second question first. I mean, we see positive growth across all industry verticals except probably textiles, right? And that, the reason for that is pretty obvious. So all the sectors have grown. But the question that we really need to ask ourselves is, are all these sectors going to grow in the future? Now, there is a certain tentativeness. There are still inquiries that are coming through. But are they all going to get converted in the same velocity as they used to get converted in the past? This is a question that we don't have a clear answer for, right? So we have to wait and see and watch this very carefully, right? To answer your first question, our volume growth was about 8% in India without oxygen. With oxygen is around, with about 2%, 2 to 3%.
Yeah. That's helpful. The second part is you mentioned that we took some corrective pricing actions early part of the calendar year. When we look at the competitive positioning amongst the large players, what would be our pricing ladder? I mean, historically, we have observed that there was a 7 to 10% differential versus in Copco and maybe a 1 or 2% versus in Ingersoll. Now, how do we see, as you have mentioned, that we have moved ourselves significantly up on the quality curve and there is an acceptance towards our brand. So, it will be useful to understand the pricing ladders.
Well, Bhavin, that's a million-dollar question. If I had an answer for that, then I'll be at a different level. If you ask our sales guys, they will say that we are far, far higher than Atlas and Ingersoll Rand, which is not true, right? But having done the price corrections and having tried to extract the pricing behavior of our competitors from their published reports, we believe that we have done a far more aggressive price correction than our competitors, right? I think our competitors were challenged by supply chain issues, which probably didn't handle it as well as we did. And probably because of supply chain challenges and long lead times, they've had to also be a little sluggish on their price correction. So this is still early days. We have to wait and see. Yeah. So To answer your question, in the ladder, probably we have moved one or two rungs, but I can't put a percentage on. Yeah. Are we higher than Atlas and higher than Ingersoll Rand? Definitely not. I think that's our sales guys, you know, fantasy and imagination. But that's something that is, we are not there yet. Yeah. And let me tell you, even if our quality, and I know our quality is far better than these competitors, I know our performance in many machines are far better than these competitors, but we are dealing with Indian customers who still like something that's foreign. Yeah, we haven't shaken ourselves out of the colonial past, right? We still have that complex. We will build it over a period of time. Yeah.
No, we understand that. Just the last question from my side is, you had given a target of 14.5-15% margins on a 3-4 year trajectory, and you've achieved it maybe in a year's time now. Do you see a further upsides to the trajectory that we had portrayed for a 4-5 year horizon?
So, Bhavin, we had said 16% by 2025-26 is what we had said. And right now we are at around 14.5 or something like that. Now, like I said, this quarter has realized our prices and costs have not increased as we anticipated. So it's a time to review our position, because the priority is growth profitable, not profitable flat performance. Yeah. So we need to review that. So to answer your question, can we remain the same level of top line and achieve 16% that we've run? No. And I would actively discourage that, because then you're just propping up, you're extracting margins from the market, you're just milking it, you're not growing it, right? So it's a good situation to be in, but not a situation where you can celebrate and say, now we can keep extracting from the market.
No, that's very helpful. Thank you so much for taking my questions.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Manish Goyal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. Sir, very hearty congratulations on crossing 100 crores PBT. Quite commendable, sir.
Thanks, Manish. Good to see you in your new avatar.
Thank you so much, sir. A couple of questions just on probably on the gross margins again, to probably get a better perspective as to, has the revenue mix changed also, like in terms of higher aftermarket sales or more exports from India? And backward integration, what we have been doing gradually, also helping us very well in this quarter, or probably we see this kind of revenue mix continuing. If you can give that perspective, like how are aftermarket doing? And in exports also, what I saw last year in the annual report is that exports from India, standalone, was up 69% to 421 crores, and it's now 17% of the revenue. And it's driven by both sales to the subsidiaries and direct exports, I believe. So that is the first set of questions, sir.
Yeah, so let me try and answer what I've understood, Manish. You can correct me. Now, let's talk backward integration. The backward integration which we expected to contribute to the bottom line was the motor project, right? Now, it has certainly contributed, but nowhere near the levels of significance that needs to get called out in this quarter's percentage. For the simple reason, our motor production volumes are still quite low because of that machinery that we did not get. So,
yes.
I wouldn't, this profitability is not because of backward integration. Coming to mix, Our aftermarket as a percentage of revenue has remained at the same level. Maybe marginally it's grown. I would not say that that is the main reason. So overall, I would say we have pushed through price increases across all products, and it took us across all geographies. It took us a little bit of time to make it stick in some products and make it stick in certain geographies, and that's why it took us almost 6 months to get to where we are today, right?
Sure.
So this is my understanding of your question. Is there something that I missed?
No, that is what I was trying to say, that if there has been some significant shift or move in the revenue mix, which would probably have helped us on the better gross margins along with the price increases what we have taken.
No, I wouldn't attribute this to mix. It would be purely on our pricing. Yeah.
And anyways, exports will continue to do well because our international subsidiaries are also growing well. And sir, are we like in India? Have we started seeing traction on the inquiries on the project side, which was quite subdued of late?
Inquiries, it's all at inquiry level. For instance, flue gas desulfurization, a lot of inquiries. Steel mills are talking. Steel, again, they were talking. Now they seem to be saying, wait a minute, let's wait and see. The same thing with cement. Cement started and now they are saying, let's wait and see. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And a couple of data points, like we have seen a jump in our other income. So I believe it's always like in Q2, we have dividend incomes from the subsidiary. So if you can share the number, what was the flow through of dividend income in the quarter, that will be helpful.
There was no dividend income really in this quarter, Manish. The main thing, other income, is the exchange, restate exchange. Mark-to-market kind of a thing.
And how much was that, sir, roughly? Because even standalone has seen a jump, so I was just wondering that.
Standalone also will have income because it's exporting to the subsidiaries, right?
Right, okay. So what was that forex gain, sir?
It's not a gain, it's just restatement of our receivables, no?
Okay. Got it, sir. And last question, sir, on... So when we talking about Q3, so like probably last con call, we did mention about a bit uncertainty on the growth aspect. So now basically we are seeing that we probably continue to see the growth momentum what we have seen in the recent past. That is what we should infer. Like when you said first 2 months seems to be quite okay. So when we say this, we are referring to the growth part.
Yeah, correct. First 2 months seem to be okay on the top line. I wouldn't say they're better than Q2, but they are continuing down that path. Yeah.
Okay.
But we'll have to wait and see beyond Q3.
Great, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rahul Gazre from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I've got two questions. Now, given the concerns in the European region, you know, with respect to manufacturing and energy cost, etc., is there a case for you to, you know, see more manufacturing happening in India and shipping it to Europe for finishing and ultimately selling it, benefiting from labor arbitrage and also aid operating leverage in India? That's the first question.
You mean manufacturing for LG to be moving to India, or you're saying generally European companies will move to India for manufacturing?
There is a trend that we seem to be gathering. You know, given the energy cost concern, there are more and more inquiries for manufacturing coming to India. So in case of LG, it could be essentially from the own subsidiaries and from ultimate clients also.
So right now our manufacturing, our entire global markets are supplied out of our manufacturing in India. So we don't manufacture the industrial compressors anywhere else. We do manufacture portable compressors in our factory in Italy, but that's a very, very small operation. Now, are European companies going to set up operations in India? I don't know. I don't see that big kind of exodus happening. You have to keep in mind that after the China sourcing experience for the whole world, every country, just like India, is looking at insourcing manufacturing, right? So part of our, I believe the demand for our products in the US is driven by investment in by American companies to insource manufacturing. So it's everyone is behaving, all countries are behaving in a very protective manner. I mean, so is India. So I mean, China plus one strategy, like I said, it's for a sourcing point. We are not a sourcing company. We are not a source for anybody. But such of those businesses that are sources for other brands, they will definitely have a benefit.
Okay. So my second question is, in your total sales, typically how much of this comes from, you know, orders for a new factory and how much would be replacement demand? Do you track this?
We do track it, but I don't have the number in front of me. Yeah.
Okay, I can take that offline. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vipul Shah from Sumangal Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for a great set of numbers.
Thank you.
My question is, what is our aftermarket revenue, including service and spare, as percentage of revenue last quarter, and where we intend to take it in 2-3 years' time, sir?
Our aftermarket, you know, our service revenue is very small because we don't do service. Most of our service, at least in India, is done by our distributors. So for us, bulk of our aftermarket is just parts revenue. Our total at a global consolidated level, our aftermarket would be around 22-23%. And in terms of for the next 2-3 years, I can't predict where it's going to be. I can only say it's a strategic priority for us, right? In all markets, not just in specific markets. But from an opportunity point of view, it could be as high as 35%.
Okay, and so naturally, sir, it must be a high-margin business as compared to new compressor business, right, sir?
Yes, yes.
Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Govind Raj from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, how much has our exports in total consolidated sales, sir?
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
How much is the export, sir, during the quarter? Yeah.
See, our business is done by our subsidiaries, right? So our international business hardly has any export. It goes all to our subsidiaries and subsidiaries sell. So we are not like other companies that do domestic and export. Yeah.
Okay. And the promoter stake is at 31 to 32%. Any ideas increasing it, sir?
If you can give me some money, I will certainly increase
it. Okay, sir. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Manish Goyal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, if you can...
You're going to offer me money now, Manish.
I don't mind, sir. Sir, can you give us a breakup of revenue between international and domestic for the current quarter and a competitive number as well?
Competitive?
No, revenue breakup between international and domestic for the current quarter and the half year.
Oh, for the half year. So they're roughly the same at around 40-42%. India, and the rest of it is the rest of the world. right? They're roughly, they're maintaining that same thing. Last year was about 55% domestic, 45% was the rest of the world.
Okay. And for the half year also, it would be somewhat similar.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
And sir, we kind of having a large outstanding borrowing on one side to tune of 600 crore plus, and on other side large cash of 450. So are we seeing some interest arbitrage benefit, number one, or there is an issue on the fungibility of cash utilization?
So if you look at the debt, it is primarily in the overseas subsidiaries, which is bulk of it. Big one is in Europe. The next big one is in America, and the third big one is Australia, right? So these are the three areas. India business is generating cash, and as a consequence, we are using packing credit, which we are getting at a very low rate of interest, and we borrow that and put it into deposits as a means to earn a little bit of a margin there and keep it safe. Yeah.
Okay.
So there is a bit of an arbitrage in India. Yeah.
Okay. Great, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the floor back to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Inba. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It was a pleasure to be with you this evening. Thank you for your continued support and your continued curiosity about our performance. So we look forward to talking to you at the end of the next quarter. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Asian Market Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.